Psalm 45. To the choir master, according to Lilies, a maskil of the sons of Korah, a love song. My heart overflows with a pleasing theme. I address my verses to the king. My tongue is like the pen of a ready scribe. You are the most handsome of the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword on your thigh, O mighty one, in your splendor and majesty. In your majesty, ride out victoriously for the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness. Let your right hand teach you awesome deeds. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The peoples fall under you. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of uprightness. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. Your robes are all fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. From ivory palaces, stringed instruments make you glad. Daughters of kings are among your ladies of honor. At your right hand stands the queen in gold of Ophir. Hear, O daughter, and consider and incline your ear. Forget your people and your father's house. And the king will desire your beauty. Since he is your Lord, bow to him. The people of Tyre will seek your favor with gifts, the riches of the people. All glorious is the princess in her chamber, with robes interwoven with gold. In many colored robes she is led to the king, with her virgin companions following behind her. With joy and gladness they are led along as they enter the palace of the king. In place of your fathers shall be your sons. You will make them princes in all the earth. I will cause your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, nations will praise you forever and ever. Now, in our study of Psalm 45, we said that although the king mentioned here may have been King Solomon, it is clear that one greater than Solomon is present in this beautiful psalm. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 42, the queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. That one who is greater than Solomon is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Hebrews chapter 1 verses 8 to 9 marks this psalm, Psalm 45, as a messianic psalm. Hebrews chapter 1 verses 8 and 9. But of the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. So, whatever may have been the historic use of the psalm, one thing is very clear. The ultimate message here is about the Lord Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32, we read, this mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, we read, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. The writer of the psalm presents four pictures of our Lord Jesus. And in so doing, he also described his bride, the church. The first picture is the gracious Son of Man, the gracious Son of Man in Psalm 45 verses 1 and 2. The second picture is the picture of the victorious warrior Psalm 45 verses 3 to 5. The third picture is the picture of the righteous king. Psalm 45 verse 6 right up to verse 7, the first part of the verse. And then we have the picture of the glorious bridegroom in Psalm 45 verse 7, the latter half of verse 7, right up to verse 17. Now we looked at the first two pictures in our last study. Today we will move on into the rest of the psalm. The third picture is the picture of the righteous king, Psalm 45 verse 6 onwards. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of uprightness. You have loved righteousness and hate wickedness. Now those who deny the deity of Christ refuse to accept the translation in Psalm 45 verse 6. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. So they want to make the psalm only Jewish history and not messianic prophecy. However, your throne, O God, is forever and ever is the plain sense of the text. And this is supported by Hebrews chapter 1 verses 8 to 9, which we just read earlier. And also Luke chapter 1, where the angel Gabriel speaks to Mary. Luke chapter 1 verse 30 to 33. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Psalm 45 verse 6. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. Revelation chapter 11 verse 15 also tells us, he shall reign forever and ever. Revelation 11 verse 15. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven, saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Yes, the scripture does use the word Elohim to refer to human rulers, and we see that in Psalm 82 and verse 6, Psalm 82 and verse 6, and also in Exodus chapter 21 verse 6. But that is not the meaning here. The writer clearly affirmed the eternal reign of the eternal Son of God. His reign would also be righteous, and all evil would be removed. Jesus Christ is reigning now in heaven at the right hand of God. Psalm 110 verses 1 and 2. A psalm of David. The Lord says to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Before being crucified, Jesus was questioned by the high priest. And then he answered in Matthew chapter 26 verses 63 and 64. Matthew 26, 63 and 64. But Jesus remained silent. And the high priest said to him, "I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so. But I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." On the day of Pentecost, Peter addressed the crowd regarding the exalted Christ. And this is what he said in Acts chapter 2 verse 33. Acts 2 verse 33. "Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing." Acts chapter 5 verse 31. "God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." Before Stephen's death, we read in Acts chapter 7 verses 55 and 56. "But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, 'Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.'" In Romans chapter 8 verse 34 we read, Romans 8:34,
Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Now, when we as believers in Christ, when we realize the exalted position to which Christ has raised us up, and when we humbly learn to walk under the yoke of His authority, then we begin to experience His power at work in us and through us. We begin to experience victory. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 to 20. And what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His great might, that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus Christ is the king priest after the order of Melchizedek. We studied this truth in detail when we studied the book of Hebrews during our Sunday morning worship services. And those of you who are not there, you can get those messages from the church website. One day, His people will reign with Him. We will reign with Him and we will share His glory. Revelation chapter 5 verse 10. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with Him for 1,000 years. So whenever things are shaky around you, whenever you are afraid, just remember that God is on His righteous throne. Our eternal God is on His eternal throne. Many rulers of history thought that their thrones would endure forever. But those thrones were toppled. In fact, we have to search through history books just to find the names of long forgotten kings and queens. Not so with Jesus Christ our Lord. His throne is not ruined by the ravages of time. It is eternal and righteous, and it can never be overthrown by the attacks of men. Whatever He does is absolutely right. He never rules unjustly. He never causes evil. His scepter is the scepter of righteousness. So to fight against the throne of God is foolish, because that is fighting against something eternal, righteous and holy. God wants to rule our lives. That is why it is important for us to bow before Him and say, I crown You King of my life. You shall receive all the glory. Here I am. I am at Your feet, ready to do Your will. So let the eternal throne of God rule in your life today. One day, every knee shall bow before Him, but for many it will be too late. The day of judgment will come. Philippians chapter 2 verse 10. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. So, do you know Jesus as Lord and King of your life? If not, don't delay. Bow before Him now and make Him the ruler of your life. Let Him reign in your life. Then, in the rest of the psalm, we see the picture of the glorious bridegroom. The picture of the glorious bridegroom. Psalm 45, verse 7, the latter half of verse 7, right up to verse 17. Now, these verses describe the royal wedding. First, beginning with the preparation of the bridegroom. Psalm 45, verses 7 to 9. The latter half of verse 7. Therefore, God your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. Your robes are all fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. From ivory palaces, stringed instruments make you glad. Daughters of kings are among your ladies of honor. At your right hand stands the queen in gold of Ophir. Now the anointing mentioned here in verse 7 is not his anointing as king, but as the honored guest at the wedding feast. It is the oil of gladness representing the eternal joy that belongs to the happy bride and bridegroom. Isaiah chapter 61 verse 3 refers also to this oil of gladness. Isaiah 61 verse 3. To grant those who mourn in Zion to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Now the soldiers gambled for the garments of Jesus when he hung on the cross. In John chapter 19 verses 23 to 24 we read, John 19 verses 23 to 24, when the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. But at the wedding feast of Christ, his garments will be fragrant and glorious. It says in Psalm 45 verse 8, "Your robes are all fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia." To have ivory inlay at the walls of a person's house, that was considered luxury. 1 Kings chapter 22 verse 39. 1 Kings chapter 22 verse 39. Now the rest of the acts of Ahab and all that he did, and the ivory house that he built, and all the cities that he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? But the king's palaces are made of ivory. Out of the ivory palaces by which they have made you glad. Psalm 45 verse 8. As the king prepares to meet the bride, there are the musicians. They are playing beautifully. They are playing beautiful music. In ancient times, a Jewish bridegroom went to the bride's house to claim her to his own home, which he had prepared. And Jesus will do exactly that when he returns to claim us, his church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Psalm 45 verse 9, I read from the King James Version. "King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir." The king's daughters that are mentioned here are princesses who accompany the bride. We would call them bridesmaids today. In verse 14, they are called virgin companions. Psalm 45 verse 14. "In many colored robes she is led to the king, with her virgin companions following behind her." Now please don't confuse them with women of a harem. Such women will certainly not be in a wedding procession. These are princesses who accompany the bride. Next comes the preparation of the bride. Today, the Church of Jesus Christ, the bride, is spotted by the world. It looks old. It is wrinkled because of inner decay. Inner decay has taken place. But one day it will be a glorious bride, spotless, blameless, and without spot or wrinkle. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 27. So that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Although the church is criticized today, the church in that day, in that glorious day, will be beautiful, and the church will bring great glory to Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 11 to 12. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Now, in the psalm, as the queen waits within her palace chamber, she is dressed in the finest garments, embroidered with the finest gold. Psalm 45 verse 13. All glorious is the princess in her chamber, with robes interwoven with gold. She is given counsel as she enters this new relationship. She must forget the past, submit to her husband the king, and seek only to please him. Psalm 45 verse 10 and 11. Psalm 45 verse 10 and verse 11. Hear, O daughter, and consider, and incline your ear. Forget your people and your father's house, and the king will desire your beauty, since he is your Lord. Bow to him. What a powerful word it is for the church in the world today. Philippians chapter 3 verses 13 and 14. Philippians chapter 3 verses 13 and 14. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Our Lord Jesus loves us, and he sees beauty in his bride, the church. And we must acknowledge that he is Lord and worship him, showing him respect and homage to him. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 6. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children, if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. It would be idolatry to worship a human king. But this king mentioned here in Psalm 45 is the King of Glory. Psalm 24 verses 7 to 10. Tell us about this King of Glory. Psalm 24 verses 7 to 10. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. He is the Lord of hosts. He is the Lord who fights our battles. He is the Lord who stands in victory. And we are standing in victory with him. Psalm 45 verse 12. The people of Tyre will seek your favor with gifts, the richest of the people. Tyre was a powerful and wealthy city in the time of David, the king. The king of Tyre was the first foreign ruler to recognize the kingship of David. In 2 Samuel chapter 5 verse 11, we read 2 Samuel chapter 5 verse 11. And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David and cedar trees, also carpenters and masons who built David a house. Now there will come a time when the kings of the earth will bring their wealth and their glory into the city of the great king. The book of Revelation chapter 21 verses 23 to 26. Revelation chapter 21 verses 23 to 26. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. In the next stage of the wedding, the bride is brought to the king. Psalm 45 verses 14 and 15. In many colored robes she is led to the king, with her virgin companions following behind her. With joy and gladness they are led along as they enter the palace of the king. Her companions are with her. It is a time of beauty and joy as the wedding party enters the banquet hall in the palace and shares in the wedding feast. Revelation chapter 19 verses 6 to 9. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, "Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints." And the angel said to me, "Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true words of God." As the king and queen, as they leave, the writer of the psalm pronounces a benediction. Psalm 45 verses 16 and 17. Psalm 45 verse 16 and 17. "In place of your fathers shall be your sons. You will make them princes in all the earth. I will cause your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore nations will praise you forever and ever." The writer of the psalm is speaking specially to the king. The pronouns in the original Hebrew text are masculine. And this benediction can be paraphrased like this. No matter how great your ancestors were, your descendants will be even greater. They will be princes in all the earth, not just government officers in the kingdom. You will reign forever and ever, and your name will never be forgotten. The people will praise you forever. Now, words like these, spoken in an ancient Eastern wedding, would be considered polite exaggeration. But when applied to Jesus Christ, these words are not strong enough. Jesus Christ is bringing many children to glory. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10. "For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering." Hebrews chapter 2 verse 13. "And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me." This was the reason Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2. "Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." The joy that was set before him was the joy of presenting his bride, the church, to the Father in glory. Remember that prayer of Jesus in John 17 verse 24. John chapter 17 verse 24. "Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world." Today, every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has this foretaste of glory. We are born of God's Spirit. The uncreated eternal life of God has been implanted into us the moment we are born again. We are partakers of the divine nature. We are a new creation in Christ. His Spirit dwells in us. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4. "By which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire." 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Now we began the psalm saying that Psalm 45 is a wedding psalm. Yes, it is indeed the wedding of the Lamb of God with his bride, the church. And this is what it says about the bride. Psalm 45 verse 13. "All glorious is the princess in her chamber, with robes interwoven with gold. The King James Version puts it this way, Psalm 45 verse 13, the King James Version. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. It is reticulated with gold inside out. We are the bride of Christ. Jesus Christ wants his bride, his people to be beautiful within, reticulated with purity inside out. We are married to Jesus Christ not because we loved him, but because he loved us. Before we ever thought about him, he thought about us. And in his love, he purchased us and came to us. Now, the heart of married life is commitment. Those of you who have been married, you know that without commitment to each other, your marriage will collapse. So the heart of married life is commitment. In the same way, trusting Jesus Christ for salvation is an act of the will. It is not enough to think about Christ or know him intellectually. We must say, I will trust him. I commit myself to him. In the book of Revelation, we read in Revelation chapter 22 verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Yes, you belong to Jesus Christ. And your true beauty ought to be from within. And if it is within, it is going to come out through your life. The Christian life is a wedding. It is not a funeral. It is not a funeral. It is a wedding. Don't wear the sorrowful clothes of a mourner. Jesus Christ has clothed you with beauty, the gold of his righteousness. Enjoy the wedding today. He purchased you with his love and clothed you with his righteousness. So commit and yield yourself to him. Love him and trust him. Renew your commitment to him daily and enjoy his presence. Let's bow our heads in prayer.